Boom! Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Big Screen Breakdown. It's been a minute. I've got some crazy things going on in my life, like you people care. But, you know, new job and different things like that. So, unfortunately, I haven't been able to record as often as I wanted to. But today is a very special episode because Season 2 of The Mandalorian is all done. And longtime listeners will know that I've been doing Mikey's Mandalorian Minute every week, and this one's gonna be extended. We're gonna break down the entirety of season 2, but we're having double the Mikey power, I guess. I have a special guest with me today. Betty's not here, but I actually have her brother. Her brother's name is Michael, and so it's double Mandalorian Mike, Michael, Mikey.
Mike squared.
Mike squared. Yeah, Mike to the power of two. Yeah. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, bro. You know, just enjoying my Christmas Eve, dude.
Oh, yeah, it's Christmas
Super
Eve.
Super stoked to be on. Very excited to be here. I know it's been a while. I mentioned that I've been wanting to be on for a cool minute now.
Yeah, we planned this a couple months ago, so it's good to have you here.
Yeah, definitely.
Michael, for anybody who doesn't know, which is everybody because he's the first time here, but a huge Star Wars fan, yes?
Yes.
Tell
absolutely.
Me what Star Wars has meant to you.
Well, Star Wars for me is just like an access to my childhood. To this day, I can still remember sitting down on the step stools of an AMC because it was that packed for episode 3,
okay.
Revenge of the Sith, right. When I was like 7, 8, 9. I forget how long ago it was, but it was me and my dad, and we couldn't find any seats, even though they sold us tickets for seats, so we just sat on the side of the steps because we didn't care.
Wow.
We wanted to watch that movie that bad.
So did you? So obviously, you know, we're close enough to the same age that the prequels were the movies that we saw in theaters. You know, we obviously weren't around for the original trilogy, but did you enjoy the original trilogy before you got to the prequels, or did you start off with the prequels and then go back and revisit? I always like to ask younger Star Wars fans that question.
I don't really remember, to be honest. Okay. I'd like to say that I saw the prequels before. I'm sorry, I saw like the originals before the prequels. But I don't remember that for sure. All I remember is like my original Star Wars journey would be Revenge of the Sith, like I mentioned, like being in that theater.
Right.
But I can't remember per se if I saw it beforehand. That being said, my dad is a huge movie buff too. So I'm pretty sure he showed me, or else he'd be a bad father.
No, your dad's actually a great guy. I have to say that. No, yeah. So like when I was a kid, I watched the original trilogy. My brother showed it to me like when I was like 8 or 9 years old. And then right around that time is when episode 1, 2, and 3 were first coming out. Well, episode 1 was first coming out. So, but yeah, it's funny because like I tend to relate more with the prequels than anything. Like, and you know, I have friends who are like, Luke Skywalker is like their hero, but like I think Luke Skywalker is great, but you know I like Anakin Skywalker was my hero, you know.
Right,
so
yeah.
it's real different. What did you think about the sequel trilogy, really fast?
Well,
7, 8, and 9.
You know, I couldn't knock them for what they did because, as most Star Wars fans, they probably didn't go the direction that you wanted to, but it's not about you, right? It's about what's current in nowadays era, plus what kind of setup they want for their future, being that Star Wars, I mean, and Marvel too, were bought out by Disney.
Disney owns everyone.
Yeah, for real. But I liked them, dude. Like, honestly, it was a bit of a transitional period.
Right.
You know, there was less Star Wars, there was less lightsaber fights, and a little bit more getting used to the new characters and kind of like figuring out their angle and, you know, like how they are a part of this whole world. But it was refreshing, man. You know, definitely loved enjoying seeing the new lands and animals and characters and pretty much how, like, the war affected everybody on a different scale. So I liked it, bro. Like, it did take an original transition, like anything new. You know, you cling to your old ways. But overall, I liked what they did. I'm not mad at it.
Okay. I like that. I like that. There's a lot of Star Wars fans that are like, no, we don't accept that, especially, like, the older generation that read all the old books and, you know, the original Thrawn trilogy of books and different things.
And
that's their story.
I think the reason why I feel that way, I'm sorry to cut you off, was because I'm more of like that middleman between where I have appreciation for the original trilogy and 1, 2, and 3. And I read a few of the books, even though like the only book that I really read was the Boba Fett book. When he was like a kid and pretty much after what happened to his father.
Right.
His life story. So I'm like in the middle point of all that. So I'm just a fan of Star Wars in general, and I'm ecstatic whenever a new piece of content comes out, no matter how big or small. As you may know, that's why, like, the whole point of this podcast is to get into the Mandalorian.
Right.
But any little bit of Star Wars content, as long as it's good, I'm happy, man.
I'm in the same boat. And I think our acceptance more of, like, the sequel trilogy comes from, like, both me and you are, like, we like comic books and superheroes and stuff like that. Thousands of people have written stories about Batman. Thousands of people have written stories about Superman or Iron Man or whatever. And so it's a lot easier for us to accept a different interpretation of a character. Rather, guys that are just hardcore Star Wars fans, and then they're like, oh, you know, not my Luke Skywalker, or all right. The things that people, you know. So for me, it was a lot easier for me to be like, oh, yeah, I guess that's the direction they're taking it with, and that's fine. But anyways, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about The Mandalorian Season 2. It just finished last Friday, but we're going to go through all of Season 2. This is Mikey's Mandalorian Minute, so it's going to be the whole show. It's been a long time since I've had an episode out anyway, so we're gonna talk about everything. So let's just talk about it. The Mandalorian, how do you feel? The whole thing. We can talk about Season 1, Season 2. Just tell me how you feel.
Man, can I just start with Jon Favreau?
Yeah,
fucking go ahead. Genius, dude.
Language.
I agree.
Is it okay if I cuss?
Go ahead. Why not?
Fucking genius, bro. I mean, I've been a fan of his since he was happy on Iron Man, you know what I mean? And then, you know, he did that whole thing with Chef.
Directed that, Elf. Since it's Christmas time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he directed Elf.
I mean, he's a wonderful director, so obviously that added to his repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
But man, like, he had a lot to do with it, and I'm just grateful for him. So I'd like to start off there, because if it wasn't for him, there would be no Mandalorian.
It's true.
But dude, starting from not even like sheer storyline, just visually perspective, it is clean. It is HD. It is high action. It is exciting. There's story there. There's a lot of, you know, underlying lessons. Man, it's just good overall.
Have you watched any of the behind-the-scenes stuff, like, of how they film?
I haven't, but I can only imagine there's a crap load of money that goes into making an episode of that.
Okay, so this is the newest technology that a lot of companies, especially now with COVID. Mandalorian did it before the whole shutdown. But instead of green screen, they're doing these giant, like, a circular projection. It's a screen, but they're projecting the actual background of, you know, space or of whatever planet they're on to kind of immerse the actors in more. Wow. So when he's walking on, you know, a jungle planet or an ice planet, like, that's what's projected around them. So it's easier for them when they're doing the CGI, so they don't have to create the entire background off of off a blue screen or a green screen. But B, it's easier for the actor to get there in that moment. So
right.
It's a kind of a technology that they pioneered with this show, but they're using it for, Disney's using it for all their Marvel shows, and they just announced a bunch of new Star Wars shows that are supposed to be coming out. So this is the new thing in movie making, and they're able to do everything in a warehouse where they don't have to. That's why it's all so great for COVID. But yeah, they've definitely put a lot of money into this show.
Wow, that's amazing. I did not know that. Yeah, man, considering they did that in a warehouse, it looks clean.
Yeah, no. We can talk about it. Nothing's perfect, but the budget they're putting into this, it's like a movie. It's a movie every single week.
Movie quality series.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Do you feel like episodes aren't long enough? I look at the runtime. Yeah?
Yeah, because...
maybe I just always want more.
True. I mean, like, that's the human need, right? We always want more. But as far as, like, storyline goes, I mean, honestly, if you... I rewatched all the episodes in anticipation for this podcast, and I found an underlying theme, you know, like... It's like steps that the Mandalorian has to follow in order to, you know, get Grogu to a Jedi. And it's practically like more like, I'm going to make this pact with you that I promise you this in exchange for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that a lot in the same theme. So once you kind of figure that out, that it's kind of like that same theme over and over again in each episode, I feel like it's a very adequate enough of time, because they usually get their problems resolved and they go on to the next chapter. Which is good, because I don't want them to be stuck on the same problem for too long, if that makes sense.
So that's actually another criticism that some fans have, that the episodes, when something pivotal happens, you know, the season opens with, you know, him going back to Tatooine and finding Boba Fett's armor, and then the next episode is with the Frog Lady. The episode after that, he meets Bo-Katan. And it's like every other episode is just filler. I never felt that it was filler. I felt that there were steps along in his journey. But a lot of people were saying, like, oh, no, you do something, you meet Ahsoka, and then you go do something pointless, or...
I mean, if I were to give any of the episodes fillers for season two, it would have to be the Frog Lady one, right?
I'd still like that
That's episode. The only one, but even then, dude, it was still pleasurable to watch because it shows you where Mandalorian lies between, like, the Empire and the Rebellion, right?
Yeah, and then that's world building that they're doing. You know, they have the chase scene with the X-Wings. You're seeing that the New Republic is coming up and they're trying to get the Outer Rim, like, in order, and they're out there doing the best that they can, and... I don't know. I saw it more as world building. I saw it as the Mandalorian's progression of his character. Like, the care that he's taking. The fact that, you know, he's willing to put himself on the line to help this lady out. You know, fighting against the spiders and whatnot. Like, he's not as cold as he was when we met him episode one. You know, at the very beginning where he doesn't
Pretty much
care
as soon as he decided to take care of Grogu, he became something different. As soon as he, like... you know, destroyed that assassination bot, something sparked in him, you know? I mean, it could be, like, the same thing, like, in The Force and Awakenings, where, like, you know, something kicked in Rey, and so the same thing that kicked into Finn, you know? Like, I mean, it wasn't apparent that something kicked into him like that, but you could definitely see the switch from Stone Cold Assassin to Stone Cold Assassin Dad.
Bitch, I'm a mother! No drama!
And then he progressed even more in this season, like, to the point where his whole creed, his whole mindset about what it is to be a Mandalorian took second place to Grogu and to this my kid, you know, the never show my face, never take my helmet off to no spoilers. I gotta so we're gonna go full spoilers on season
that being
two.
Said if you haven't seen it by this point, yeah, it's your own damn fault.
It's your own damn fault. You shouldn't even be listening to this.
Disgusting. We love our followers.
Yeah, right? Subscribe, please.
Tell your friends.
But yeah, honestly, I love the character growth that he went through this season. Like,
for sure.
For the sacrifices that he was willing to make, the compromises he was willing to make. And in the earlier episodes, you see his old mindset peeking through. He meets Bo-Katan, she takes her helmet off, and he's like, oh, you're not a real Mandalorian then. Where'd you get that helmet from? To where then he starts to realize, like, okay, this is the way, maybe not. May not be the only way. There might be other ways to do things like that. How do you feel his character progressed?
You know, man, I'm a forward thinker. I'm not the type of person to be clinging into the old ways. So if you want to take off your helmet, by all means, get that fresh air, boo. But, I think also the progression of the Mandalorian not only dictates his interactions with Grogu, but also his interactions with his newfound comrades, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, for the viewers listening, they don't know what's going on in the studio, but we have the Mandalorian playing in the background.
Now we do.
And we're watching the episode where he is interacting with, I forgot the gentleman's name.
Miggs Mayfield.
Miggs Mayfield, yes. And I forgot exactly what he said, but he was like saying, you're not a Mandalorian anymore, something along the lines of that. Pretty much saying, you could pave your own way.
Right.
And
right.
Subsequently, after that, he took off his own helmet for the greater good,
mm-hmm.
whereas before, by creed, he wouldn't have never even considered that.
He would not have, actually. And actually, since we're talking about this, I believe this is episode 8. But the episode where he does take off his helmet, when they go and pose as Imperials, learning Mayfield's backstory. You know, we met him in season 1, and, you know, he says, you know, he was an Imperial sharpshooter, not a stormtrooper kind of thing, but the whole... This is where it pays to know and to read and to kind of engage in all Star Wars media, because he brings up the reasons why he quit, why he abandoned the Empire, why he's no longer a stormtrooper. And his character, which I really did not like at all in season one, like he was an asshole, and he was supposed to be the asshole, but like, okay, you played that well. But now I care about this character because he has a heart, and he turned on the Imperials, and then he ends up, they have to shoot their way out, but because...
that scene, though. Powerful and
just
stuff.
The tension in that scene,
because
like
I'm surprised he didn't do it sooner.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like let's all agree. Like any one of us would have been quick to pull the trigger in his position, especially since, you know, that guard or whoever, I forgot exactly who it was, guard, you know, Imperial, whatever he was pushing him to that point without even knowing it. Like he didn't know who he was speaking to.
That was Joe Chill, the guy who killed Bruce Wayne's parents in Batman Begins.
Oh wow, crazy.
He played that Imperial. Yeah.
No way. Yeah, dude, that scene was badass, bro. I mean, just action nonstop. I mean, I actually enjoy the action, if we could talk about that for a second.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
There was, like, some jiu-jitsu moves. I saw a front headlock there. you know, a lot of stuff with, like, the jetpacks. I mean, like, there was a flying knee from Bo-Katan in the last episode with the jetpack. Mm-hmm. I mean, some pretty solid choreography coming from, like, a mixed martial arts background myself.
Right. Yeah.
There was some legit anime moves in there.
There's a, in the finale, there's a funny scene. Sasha Banks, who plays, oh, God, I forgot her character's name. She plays the other Mandalorian that's with Bo-Katan. Mm-hmm. And she did, like, a spinning DDT because she's also a WWE wrestler.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, so she uses her jetpack to kind of give Boba Fett a spinning DDT, but I thought that was funny because she actually is in the WWE herself. But, yeah, the action in this season, I mean, is definitely cranked up.
Solid, dude. And it's not just blaster action that we're used to.
Nope.
Which was weird because, like, in Star Wars Episode 4, Obi-Wan Kenobi was saying that these shots were very precise. They must be coming from stormtroopers.
Right.
However, everyone knows the running gag is that they can't shoot for shit. Yeah, so I was very happy with the fact that in this season it was hand-to-hand combat as well than just blasting each other in the face, right?
Right.
And you saw a lot of that here. I mean, you know, like you mentioned earlier, when the other Mandalorian did that DDT move on Boba Fett. She's a total badass. Let's just say that. That's 100%. The only thing that matters. But yeah, there was like some legit, you know, fight scenes. And especially like in that train scene when he was fighting off all of those stormtroopers when they were trying to blow up.
Caravan scene, whatever.
The caravan when he was carrying, you know, the explosive material with Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
In the second to last episode.
Right.
There were some legit action scenes, man.
I like that scene because he poses an Imperial, so he doesn't have his Mandalorian armor anymore.
Right.
And, you know, that armor is pretty OP.
For sure. And he's not used to it. If you notice, he tried to block
something. Yeah, he just let somebody hit him, and they crack right through the Stormtrooper's armor.
He was like, wait, that's different.
hey, that hurts.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about, like, he took more shots in this season than ever before, just standing there taking shots? Do you feel like that's too much,
saying that there should have been more like reasonable damage that he sustained?
Honestly, like
yeah, man, and his arm when he was getting cracked in the face by the Black Storm, or the Black
Dark Trooper in the final episode where he's just pushing his face through the wall,
yeah. Like, even if you had a Mandalorian armor, like when he took off his helmet to like say bye to Grogu, he should at least had a little bloody nose, broken nose, something yeah. You know, like
even a bloody lip,
puffed up cheek, bro. Like, even if your helmet is taking most of the damage, your brain is rattling, like come on, dude, like show me something.
Which is funny because in season one, the whole finale thing why he took his helmet off is because the back of his head was bleeding. So how are you going to have season one, the back of your head bleeding, yet you getting your face punched through a wall? It's not all, we're not going to fanboy out and say that there's nothing wrong with the show. There's a little inconsistencies there.
Sure.
But it's things that are easy to overlook because it's so great. Yeah,
we're nitpicking.
We are honestly nitpicking at that point.
For those who are talking shit and for those who don't like it, unless you have a valid reason, you're nitpicking.
Yeah, honestly, because the storytelling is that good, the action is that good, that you have to, like, go, man, really, no one could shoot between his shoulder blade and his wrist gauntlet, like, and that little piece that's not shot. Like, that's like, the stuff that
keep in mind, this guy has been training with his armor. It's second nature to him, so when he didn't have it and he tried to absorb the blast, he's like, wait, that's different. So you know, the fact that they're saying shoot in between the armor, I'm pretty sure he's more well-trained to roll
to move, to
into
know how
it,
to, yep.
For sure, bro. Like,
speaking of him training with his armor, in the scene where he takes his helmet off and he's sitting, you know, at the lunch table or whatever, having the conversation, a cool thing that Pedro Pascal, the actor, did is that if you notice when he looks around, he moves his body too, because with that helmet on, you wouldn't really have the best peripheral vision, so you're going to have to turn every time you want to look at something.
Didn't even notice
that. So, yeah, just little things like that that, like, really, like, make it seem like, man, this guy is super uncomfortable outside of that helmet.
He killed it. He killed doing that job, to be honest. Hats off to him.
All right, let's see. What else can we talk about?
Let's take it back a little bit. I'd like to talk about the episode where he got Boba Fett's armor.
Oh, okay, so let's back to episode one. Yeah, tell me about it. Tell me how you feel.
At any point, did you think that homeboy was going to betray him, the previous owner of the Boba Fett armor?
No, did you thought that?
I thought I did.
Really?
I'm like,
this
guy seems a little sketch.
Okay.
You know, that armor is worth a lot.
Yeah.
Sure, and like, yeah, killing that crate dragon is no joke, but at any point, you could always turn on him after you kill the dragon and still take his armor.
Wow.
Eventually, that theory slowly started to die out a little bit, you know, especially after like that whole town hall meeting where he was like kind of like the sheriff, if right. you will.
It's the marshal, yeah.
Yeah, but at first I got a little bit of a sketchy vibe.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm like, man, this guy's a little bit too handsome to be a good guy. He's just the right amount of handsome to be a bad guy, though.
I think Timothy Oliphant is the actor's name. I think he played it really, really well.
He played amazing.
Yeah, I think what secured his good guy-ness, like, was that his backstory. He was a part of this town. He was a part of this community. Mm-hmm. The bandits came in, and he just wanted that armor to save the town. So the way I looked at it was just like, okay, this guy, he's got one mission. He's got one goal. He just wants to protect this town. And he knows the armor isn't his. And the cool thing that this show does is that they, like, you know, the legend of what Mandalorians are, you know, right when he sat down with Mando at the bar and he's like, I've never seen a real Mandalorian before. You know, like, they know that their way, their creed, whatever, their armor means that much to them. And he knows that, okay, this guy can kill me. Because he's nothing. He is the armor at this point. That's all the marshal has. So never did I get that kind of vibe of, no, he's going to betray him. He's going to do something like that. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know. It might just be the Star Wars universe where everything isn't as what it seems, right?
That's true. That's true.
I don't know. And then I have that skepticism. Gladly, he didn't turn out to be bad. You know, he was good. It all worked out. He got the dragon meat.
I thought he was going to come back. I thought he was going to be one of the people that they picked up to help at the end of the season.
But like you said yourself, without the armor, he's nothing.
I know.
So it belongs to, you know, the rightful owner. So at that point, what is he going to do? Hold their water bottles?
Yeah. You can fly the ship or something?
I don't know. Yeah, no, but I mean, like, yeah, I would definitely have two other Mandalorians in my back pocket rather than some guy.
I mean, what do you think happened to the third Mandalorian of Bo-Katan's crew?
I don't know. You know, I noticed that. I honestly boiled that down to a more of a stronger female presence.
Okay. Makes sense.
Other than that, but who knows? I hope they do something with that because, you know, he wasn't around after that episode. He was there, and the next thing you know, they didn't even address it, right?
I know. He was probably in the bathroom, and then he just came out, and everybody was gone.
They're like, oh, mission? Happened? All right, I'm going to kick it.
Okay, so speaking of that girl power moment, that girls get it done moment, Disney owns Star Wars. They own Marvel. Avengers Endgame gets heavily criticized for their girls get it done power up moment at the end of Avengers Endgame, where all the girls are at one point at the same spot on the battlefield, and they kind of have their little moment where, you know.
Awesome.
Right.
It was painfully obvious.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't organic at all. I think
that's the part where people have the issue with, not the fact that it actually happened.
No, yeah, of course. It's not. It's just make it more realistic. Have some reason for it besides, oh, all the girls just happen to show up at this one point. The Mandalorian, I feel like they did it better.
Sure, because Bo-Katan was like, he's mine, and then the other chick was like, he was a former, you know, like, ally. He has a lot of information.
And then the other girl worked for Boba Fett, so it made sense that all these girls are in the same spot. Not, we have a huge battle where there's thousands of people fighting, bunch of girls show up at one spot on a battlefield to protect Spider-Man.
But that brings me back to the point that I made earlier, where the theme is there's some sort of agreement between two parties. Mainly it's Mandalorian and insert name here. Mm-hmm. But in this point, it's Boba Fett and his sidekick being in debt to the Mandalorian. And he's like, our quest isn't done until, you know, Grogu is back with Grogu you safely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to Mandalorian and anyone who wears that armor, like, their word means a lot. Which is like this common theme that you're finding around here. Because, you know, Boba Fett could have easily been like, "Not my problem, dude. Peace out. I got what I wanted."
So I want to talk about Boba Fett for a second.
Yes.
How do you feel about Boba Fett coming back?
I don't see it as a bad move. Especially since they kind of warmed it up with the fact that we witnessed the Mandalorian escape the crate dragon. Mm-hmm. His stomach. So that in and of itself programs us to believe that it's not impossible to escape the belly of a beast.
Right, right.
So
I find it funny that, so we're jumping all over the place, but whatever, it doesn't matter. There's a post-credit scene, I know how to speak.
Words are hard.
that coming December, there's another series coming out called The Book of Boba Fett.
I've heard.
I find it hilarious that when The Mandalorian was announced, everybody was like, oh, it's a Boba Fett show, it's a Boba Fett show. And then they're like, no, it's a completely new character. And people were kind of bummed about that. And then once we got season one and season two, everybody's in love with The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian and Grogu have become two of Star Wars' most popular characters, and they've only been around a year.
For sure.
And now that they're giving us a Boba Fett show, I'm like, just give me season three of The Mandalorian. I could really, like, not care less, because I love Star Wars through and through. I have a freaking Mandalorian tattoo that I got 10 years ago before this show.
Prior.
Yeah.
I can attest to that. The ink is a little faded.
But I just find it funny how popular this character has gotten, that kind of like dethrone almost Boba Fett. Disney has done this thing where, you know, they bought Lucasfilm, they buy Star Wars. Boba Fett's the original Mandalorian. He's the first one we saw in this armor. He's, you know, the original badass kind of thing. And then Disney did this thing with the Star Wars Clone Wars show where they say that Boba and Jango Fett are not really Mandalorians. Hmm. Now, the Mandalorian show brought it back to say, oh no, they are Mandalorians. Jango Fett was a foundling just like Mando, and like, I guess through Boba being his son, quote unquote, no, they're really Mandalorians now. But then the season finale, Bo-Katan tells Boba, you're not a Mandalorian. He says, I never said I was. So what the hell, man? Is he a Mandalorian or not? What do you think?
He's just a kid, man. Think about it. Clone Wars, he was raised as a kid by Jango. Jango said, this clone, I wanted to be raised like a person.
Right, an unaltered clone.
At that point, I mean, Boba was only like 8, 9 when Jango died.
Somewhere around there, yeah, probably.
Around there, and he witnessed it. And I read Boba Fett's book many years ago, and it pretty much explains what happens after he leaves. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you could fill in the blank once he returns in the original saga. He's just some guy trying to survive, man. That's what I got out of the book.
Simple man trying to make his way in the universe.
I mean, at the end of the day, his only skill set is bounty hunting, right?
Right,
that's,
yeah.
That's what he got. So from what I understand from the books of Boba Fett's journey from when his dad died to, you know, him working for Jabba. From him working to Jabba the Hutt, he had a rough life, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
he
had to, you know, scour trash cans for food. Mm-hmm. At first, you know, he sold his ship and he sold a majority of his stuff just to get by. I mean, it's according to this book.
Right.
And then originally started working for Jabba the Hutt, and it accounts his first assassination for minuscule amount of credits.
Huh.
So I just see him as some guy trying to make it with some kick-ass armor that he got from his dad. He's a kid who grew up without a dad. Like, that's the way I see it. But then again, I'm coming in from the background of reading that book, which is very insightful. He's just some guy. He's not a Mandalorian. He's you know, Jango's kid who grew up without a dad, trying to make it in the tough, tough universe as a bounty hunter.
And that's all that matters. Now, do you feel that Boba Fett was done justice? Because in the original trilogy, he's you know, he's just a stoic-looking badass. But then he kind of goes out like a chump, to which Star Wars fans and Boba Fett fans say, oh, the only reason he went out like that is he must have been drunk. That's the only reason that he would fall into a Sarlacc pit like that. Now, do you feel like Boba Fett was done justice on this show? Because he had his badass moment when he first came back and got his armor back.
Right, and like I said earlier, like showing that the Mandalorian got out of the stomach of a beast, and then that doesn't show like that's, you know, the end of him. That's not that's not a chump move. It was just a little hiccup.
Right, right.
Yeah, he did justice, man. I mean, he was such a badass in the fight scenes, and I feel like they did a good job highlighting the brutality that he brings.
You a fan of the dad bod?
I am a fan of the dad bod. It's accurate, man.
I mean, he's been chilling for 5 years trying to get that armor back somehow.
Yeah, bro. I mean, he's older now, so you tell me how you're gonna look when you're, you know, like 50.
Oh, we'll see. I hope better, but
a little bit better. I mean, he's still getting the job done, man. So I wouldn't be mad at that dad bod.
Yeah. No, I love the love letter that the Mandalorian has to all of our favorite things from Star Wars. One of my favorite scenes from the prequels is when, you know, Jango is chasing Obi-Wan Kenobi through the asteroid field, and he's dropping those seismic charges. And one of my favorite sounds from Star Wars is just that. I'll put a clip in here now and blow people's eardrums out. That sound, and then they bring it back, you know, and the second day that he dropped that seismic charge, I was like, oh, here it comes. And just that beautiful. What's your favorite thing that the show may call back to that just makes you think, yeah, that's Star Wars?
Bringing it back?
Yeah, why not?
I want to say the creatures, man.
Yeah?
The creatures that you find throughout the journey, I think that's Star Wars to me. Because in every Star Wars film, you are introduced to a new land with new animals that are assigned to that place. You know,
right,
like in the newer films, we saw those ice hounds.
Oh, right, right, right. Those little so cool. Those crystal foxes,
right? And or the porgs and all that. And, I mean, porgs. And just, like, in this one, too, like, you know, you saw, like, those crazy-ass, like, disgusting spider-looking things, which creeped me out. But it was cool because, like, it just shows the universe of Star Wars that everything's out there.
Give you another fun fact about those spiders. They were an original Ralph McQuarrie drawing, an original sketch for The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, wow.
But they couldn't do it back then. They didn't, you know, CGI, and they couldn't build those things. So it's just concept art. You can look it up. There's this concept art of Luke Skywalker with one of those big old spiders right there. So, you know, they brought it back and they threw it on the show and it looked great. I thought they were creepy.
Yeah, dude, scary, intimidating, threatening. Yeah, man. I mean, like that and the dragon. And I think that is what kind of brings everything together.
Right.
Right? Like the fact that there's like all these weird creatures, and it's just like, to the people in the universe, it's just another normal day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
it's just, that's the world, that's the life they live.
Right, so I think they did a good job as far as, you know, mimicking the original movies.
Right. You ready to talk about the finale, or you got anything else you want to talk about?
Man, I mean, I could just talk about, like, the whole, like, Mando-Grogu relationship, bro.
Do you like the name Grogu?
I don't mind it. I think that's cool. Grogu, yeah, I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what are we going to do, call him the child from the whole time?
Well, I mean, everybody's calling him Baby Yoda, but...
Sure, Baby Yoda.
But...
I mean, I can't knock that either. But yeah, I don't mind the name, bro, and I just like their little relationship, especially when it was shown when Grogu was training with Ahsoka and he wasn't able to show what he had until it was with Mando.
Right. Now, are you a Clone Wars fan?
I'm a Clone Wars fan, yeah.
Did you like the live-action Ahsoka? Because Ahsoka's a huge part of the Clone Wars animated series, so...
I didn't finish Clone Wars.
Okay.
In all honesty, when it was first coming out, I would watch it a week-to-week basis, but eventually I just fell off.
Right. I'll tell you, if you have the time, watch the last four episodes that they put on Disney+, that Season 7 finale, that last... The first arc in the Season 7, I believe it is, great. Middle arc, meh. But the last four episodes is like, it's like a movie. Like, if you have the time, watch it, dude. It's so good.
I got nothing but time.
You like Mandalorians, you like Ahsoka, you like Darth Maul.
Yeah, man, I liked her. I just wish that she gave a little nod to, you know, her former master, Anakin, dude.
She did, bro.
She did win.
When... she was talking about Grogu. She's telling Mando. She said, "I can't train him. He's got too much emotion."
Oh, right,
she
right,
said, I've
right.
seen what this can do to the best of us.
Right. I was hoping for like a good nod. I was hoping for something not depressing.
Yeah. Or at least a name drop. But
right. You know. Former master, give him a shout out or something. I'm like, oh, where'd you learn that? I'm like, oh, my master taught me something like that. You know,
okay,
because
I
like,
see,
dude, their relationship was very special. And my thing is like, where was she during Order 66?
Watch those last four episodes. You'll find out.
Like right that. Now. Okay.
Watch those
okay.
last four episodes. You'll find out.
Like I said, like, yeah, I'm huge into Star Wars and everything, but I don't know everything, bro.
Right.
Like,
no, you
know
no, what no. I mean? Like, of course. No one can know everything. I never read that Boba Fett book that you were talking about. So.
Yeah, man. I wish I could find it, dude. I don't know if I have it or not, but I remember the cover clear as day. It was like a picture of Jabba Fett, and it was like a little bit of like that, like hologram look. But if I ever find it, I will buy it for you.
Yeah,
and you can check it out. It's pretty cool because, like I said, it leads up to when Boba Fett, you know, saw his dad get killed, and you know, leading up to that point, because like he stole some armor, you know, like his armor from the base, and he found a way to like, you know, keep that with him. But yeah, man, there's so much information out there.
And yeah.
I'm just super excited.
Star Wars is ever
for
expanding.
The future. Like this is just a stepping stone to what's coming next, and
oh yeah,
I'm stoked.
So let's talk about that finale, yeah?
Yes, sir.
All right, so just painting the scene. They gotta go save Grogu. I was about to say Baby Yoda. I gotta
call him Baby Yoda. Who cares?
They gotta
bro?
Go save Baby Yoda. And it's just, you know, they pick up some help, and I love the whole setup. I love how they get on the ship. And the coolest thing that I thought about later is I was bummed because, you know, they do the whole Trojan horse thing with the Imperial shuttle being chased by the slave one, Boba Fett. And then Boba takes off. And I'm like, man, damn, like, I'm kind of bummed out. But then I thought about it later. And again, we're talking spoilers. But Luke Skywalker shows up. And can you imagine if Boba Fett
For
was
sure.
there and Luke Skywalker walks in,
man,
like,
man,
hey,
I didn't even think about that.
Hold on, what the hell are you doing here?
Would he still have a grudge against him?
I feel like he would.
You think so?
He lost his armor because of Luke Skywalker. He fell into a Sarlacc pit. I feel like he'd be like, wait a second, that's a son of a bitch. But, I don't know. This is a, like a wiser,
I'll be petrified. armor back and all. That is a Jedi we're talking about.
I mean, I love that they showed that Moff Gideon the whole time. He's like, he's calm, cool, and collective. Even after he lost the Darksaber, even after he's like, you're going to keep me alive? All right, cool. Then I'm going to keep playing these mind games. He's their prisoner, and he's still messing with them. And then once that X-Wing shows up, and once they say a Jedi, you can see, like, perfectly acted. You can see the fear on his face. Because you got to think, this is the kid that blew up the Death Star. Everybody knows that story. This is the kid that killed the Emperor. Everybody assumes he killed Vader because no one else knows that Vader, you know, turned good at the end. So this is the legend of Luke Skywalker. The legend of Luke Skywalker that all the Imperials are afraid of. And so the fear on his face when she says, you know, oh, it's a Jedi and all the... Oh.
Right.
Oh, let's talk about it.
Dude, the timeline is a little mucky because a lot of people didn't know exactly where we were at when The Mandalorian first came out. So it is safe to say this is after Episode 6.
Yes.
Before Force Awakens.
Yeah, Mandalorian takes place about 5 years after Return of the Jedi. Episode 6.
So Luke is a full-blown Jedi.
Mm-hmm. But he hasn't started his school yet.
He hasn't been training the other kids.
Hasn't been training anybody
else.
And
that's what I was wondering. Was Grogu one of those kids?
See, lot of people are like, okay, so Ben Solo is going to turn bad in about 20 years. Does that mean that Grogu is one of the ones that he kills? I doubt it, because they're not just going to say that that's the end of his story.
He gets killed by
Ben Solo? Nah,
did he kill other of the members?
So there is a... We'll go spoilers here, but there's it's a comic book called The Rise of Kylo Ren. And it turns out that Snoke is the one who destroys Luke's school. Him and Ben Solo have that confrontation that was seen in The Last Jedi, and Luke gets knocked out, and Snoke is the one that destroys the school. And Ben takes off. And there was three other students that weren't at the school, and they came to find it all blown up. And then they went after Ben, and then Ben ends up killing those three. So, yeah, he did kill some of Luke's students, but he didn't go through and massacre everybody as we were led to believe in The Last Jedi. Like, he wasn't that cold at that point.
Pussy. That's good. Your grandpa is offended.
Right? Vader's your grandpa. You can kill. You know how many kids he killed?
All those younglings?
No, so I doubt it. I think that if we ever see the end of Grogu's story, I think it'll be something where either he ends up back with Mando or Luke takes him to whatever Yoda's home planet would be.
So, speaking of Grogu, where was he during Order 66?
That's another thing that I've seen, like, so many YouTube videos. Because they said
somebody hit him away.
Who saved him?
Who was that?
There's a theory that it was R2-D2, but I don't see how that was, just because when R2 rolled in, it seemed like the way he was shaking was... made it seem like he recognized Grogu.
Grogu felt a little bit more calmer after he saw R2-D2. There was definitely a shift.
Right. So the people are saying maybe R2 is the one who saved him.
Because R2 was there when he saw Anakin turn to the dark side too.
Mm-hmm. So who knows? The fact that they said that Grogu had been trained at the temple really changes his story. Like, that means he must have known Yoda. He must have known all these guys. Maybe he knew Anakin at a certain point. Who knows? Maybe they saw him in passing. I don't know. He was obviously kept away from the other younglings because he was able to get out of there. So
he just ages so differently. It's weird. You can't pinpoint him in a place and time.
Yeah, and I mean, he's 50 years old, so he's about the same age that Anakin would be if he didn't die. They're born about the same time. So I don't know. I honestly don't even think they'll show the end of his story. Maybe you'll see it in a comic book, but I don't think they'll come back to it. I think the next season of The Mandalorian is going to be about reclaiming Mandalore. Is going to be about him versus Bo-Katan in a way.
Darksaber.
He's the rightful ruler right now of Mandalore.
I mean, let's talk about that. So what does that mean exactly? So, is Bo-Katan an automatic bad guy now as far as Mando is concerned?
Okay, so we talk about Bo-Katan's story. She was created in the Star Wars Clone Wars show. She came to... they also touched on her character in the Star Wars Rebels show. She was given the Darksaber at a point. Another Mandalorian handed it to her, and she took it. So when they had that whole little, here, take it, I don't want it, and she says no, it was against character. But what I'm thinking is maybe because she just took it and accepted it, or traditionally the Darksaber is supposed to be won in combat. So maybe that's why, maybe she accepted it from someone and people didn't really accept that, like, no, you're not the rightful owner. Or maybe she feels like it was bad luck when she just took it, so now she feels like she has to win it, which is why she was so dead set on, I need to be the one to fight Moff Gideon, I need to be the one to get it. And now, will she be the bad guy? Because she's been the one saying the whole season Mandalorians need to come together. Is she going to be able to come together if she's not in charge? Because that's going to make her pretty hypocritical, but it is going to, that would cause some good tension, some good strife. The history of Mandalorians is they're constantly fighting with themselves. It's this set of Mandalorians believes something that this set doesn't, and so there's constant Mandalorian civil war. So history may repeat itself, because Mando doesn't want it. He doesn't want to leave. He just wants a simple life. So
yeah, man. I mean, the history of Mandalore and the protocols as to who is going to rule differs definitely between the animated show and the real life show. And even though he did beat Moff Gideon, it wasn't to the death, right?
You just have to. It's kind of like you like Harry Potter.
I do.
It's kind of like the Elder Wand. You had to disarm them.
Okay.
Like, as long as you win the fight, you don't got to kill them, but as long as you get that Darksaber away from them in an actual trial by combat kind of thing,
so why then can't it's yours. You do that?
That's what I was saying. I was like, right. Just punch him in the face and let him drop it one time. But
I guess we both know that Mando would win that fight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's true. To be honest, let's be real. I think he's the older, more experienced Mandalorian, right? And he has the whole pure Beskar spear.
He does have the spear too. I mean, he's got the spear and the Darksaber. He's got it all.
I mean, even if he didn't use the Darksaber, he would still win, I believe.
I would think so.
But, I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a whole bunch of history to the Darksaber as well. I had heard of the Darksaber, mm-hmm. but I haven't fully been told or, you know, informed as to what exactly that means.
And yeah, they go deep into that in the Clone Wars.
They said it could cut through anything. Can it cut through a lightsaber?
No, so it's basically...
a poor man's lightsaber?
It's actually a rich man's lightsaber.
Oh, what?
So the Darksaber was created by the very first Mandalorian Jedi.
What did he say?
Yeah.
They could cross?
One time they did. And this guy, his name was Tar Vizsla, something like that. And he created the Darksaber. After he died, the Jedi had it in a vault on Coruscant.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a civil war between Jedi and Mandalorian. And they broke into the Jedi Temple, took the Darksaber back. And that kind of became like their whoever holds his hammer shall have the power of Thor kind of thing. Like, you got the Darksaber, you're in charge. So that became their thing. Like, you got the Darksaber. So at a point in the Clone Wars, this guy has it, and he's in the Clone Wars show, the main Mandalorians, they're pacifists. They're like, we don't want anything to do with this war. We're chilling here on Mandalore. But there's a little sect called Death Watch, and they have the Darksaber, and they take over the planet, and they line up with Darth Maul, and then he gets the Darksaber and he rules Mandalore. And then you have to watch those last four episodes to see what happens with that. And then at a point, Bo-Katan was given the Darksaber, and that's the last time we saw it. And this was something that was created in the Clone Wars show, and they brought it to live action. And at the end of season one, we see that Moff Gideon has it. No explanation. He just has it. And they talk about the Mandalorian Purge. Something happened there. So I'm assuming that's where he won it. Maybe he won it from Bo-Katan. Maybe he stole it from her. But I'm sure they're going to dive a lot deeper into Mandalore and the history, because no one that's going to watch this show, and this is the only piece of Star Wars that they know, is going to be like, oh, now I'm going to go watch all of Clone Wars to figure out what happens. So they're going to have to explain it all in live action to tell people that just want to watch The Mandalorian what all this means.
It's a lot.
I can see your brain turning right now,
man. It's just so much to wrap your head around, man. And especially the fact that there was a Mandalorian Jedi. I'm still kind of stuck on that, because that sounds awesome.
So dope.
Like, jetpack with like a force push? What?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
And
I
a black lightsaber. Yeah.
That sounds sick. That's why I said it was like a poor man's lightsaber, but you're saying it's a rich man's lightsaber. Yeah. I mean, like,
it's like the best type of lightsaber. And they kind of show that here, where they had Ahsoka fighting, in an earlier episode, they have Ahsoka fighting that lady, and she had the spear. And when Ahsoka's lightsabers hit the spear, nothing happened. They just deflected off. But when the Darksaber hit the Beskar spear, you could see it heating up. So right. It's almost like the Darksaber is even hotter than a regular lightsaber. Or because it's like a normal lightsaber is kind of a cylinder plasma blade or whatever. Yeah, and the Darksaber actually kind of has an edge. So that might, you know,
which is crazy, because the lightsaber is still fucking badass.
It's the best weapon ever invented.
So cool.
Best weapon ever invented.
Who would have thought of that? So
George Lucas.
right? Like, he must have taken so many drugs to figure that out. So many.
Hey, man, it was the 70s.
Right, exactly. I was just about to say that. But, man, dude, like, Ahsoka having the white lightsabers to say that she's neither, like, you know, good or bad.
Well, I mean, see, I can tell you why she has white lightsabers.
Oh, please do.
Okay, so the new canon, when Disney bought Star Wars, they started changing things. Back in the day, the color of your lightsaber depended on the crystal you had inside. And there were red lightsabers because they were red crystals, and blue lightsabers because there were blue crystals, green, blah, 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 blah. They changed it with new canon when Disney bought Star Wars. They delved deeper into lightsabers. And to make a red lightsaber as a dark side user, you have to pour all of your hate into your lightsaber crystal. So like there's a Darth Vader comic when like how he builds his red lightsaber. You have to pour all your hate and it corrupts the crystal, and that's what makes it turn red.
Okay.
So Ahsoka, during the time right after Order 66, the Empire was using dark side users. They weren't Sith, they weren't like on Vader's level, but they were old Jedi that had turned bad, and instead of killing them, we're gonna use you to help us hunt down the other Jedi. Ahsoka took out two of them and purified their crystals. So she changed them from red to white. Like, she poured her goodness into those lightsaber crystals, and that's how she got white lightsabers.
Oh, wow.
According to new Star Wars canon.
Wow.
But it just looks badass, white lightsabers.
It really does, dude. I was like, what? Tight.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man, I love lightsabers, bro. All different kinds. I mean, like, Count Dooku's lightsaber was dope because it's like hilt, curved, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Darth Maul with the like dual edges.
I love Kylo Ren's lightsaber.
That was cool too.
I love that design.
You saw like how efficient it was when like someone blocked it and dug it in into like their shoulder blade. Yep, I was like,
I thought it was just cool. Smart. It's where like a lightsaber would be a one-handed sword. Like Kylo Ren's was like an old school knight's like broad sword.
It's like an Excalibur type.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that design.
Super cool because in every single movie. In a galaxy far, a long, long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So this is all in the past, right?
Yeah.
So,
but somehow in the future,
right? Because our present is different from their past and mm-hmm. future, right? So like you know like, even when they had like Padme, like Milady and all that shit. Yeah. So it's crazy because futuristic technology, with past times thought process.
Yeah. Kings and queens and different things like that, like
nobles, yeah, and, you know, mm-hmm.
knights. We don't got knights.
Yeah, man.
But okay, so let's talk about Luke Skywalker really fast because we're running kind of long here. Did you think they would bring Luke Skywalker into this show?
No, originally no, but I'm not surprised. But the reason why I say no originally is because, like other viewers, I was very confused as to the timeline.
Okay.
I wasn't too sure where this lied.
Right. But so when they were saying, take him to this temple, and if a Jedi hears him...
I was thinking any Jedi.
Okay.
I wasn't even thinking Mace Windu.
As a lot of people were thinking that. You know what I mean? Because he
didn't technically
die,
it's because we haven't seen that.
You haven't seen a body.
We haven't seen a body. I mean, dude, I mean, it could have been a new Jedi that they showed us. Because, right. I mean, like, as far as we know, like, Ahsoka, Grogu, you know, they weren't the only ones to survive Order 66.
No, there's, I mean...
I'm sure there's a couple others.
Yeah, new canon is throwing more and more people that survived that thing every day.
Yeah, man, so I was expecting, like, a new Jedi, or, I mean, like, because I was unsure, I was like, fuck, are they talking about Rey?
Oh, yeah. You know? Who knows what, yeah. Who knows? Because you had no idea what the timeline was.
I have no idea what's going on.
Interesting, okay.
So, I don't know, bro, like, but as soon as he said a single X-Wing, I kind of knew.
Yeah?
Yeah, as soon as he said a single X-Wing, I was like, oh, that's Luke's X-Wing.
Yeah, I was in the same spot when they were like, it's an X-Wing. I was like, oh, they're doing it.
Yeah, and then as soon as I saw the cloak figure, I'm like, that's definitely for him. And then I got a little bit, you know, second thought. I was mm-hmm. like, that kind of looks like a feminine body. Leia?
Oh.
Post-training Leia?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they showed us in Rise of Skywalker
green lightsaber, and she had the stuff, man. Yeah. And I was like... Like, she continued fighting, and I was like, eh, too brutal for a chick.
Yeah, well,
to
once
be
I,
honest.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Once I saw that green lightsaber, I was like, oh, they did it. They right. did it. There
but
he is.
But even with the green lightsaber, I was like, it could be Leia, maybe. But as soon as he force crushed the last dark trooper mm-hmm. with all, like into a tin can, I was like, that's a guy thing.
But once I saw the gloved hand, I was like,
that's you, for sure. 100%. Yeah, 100%. Gloved hand, you know.
I like the parallel that they did with Vader's hallway scene in Rogue One. So now Luke gets his hallway scene. And this is what everybody wanted when the sequel trilogy came out. They wanted to see primetime Luke Skywalker just go ham. And I love that it was against droids, essentially, because it would seem out of character for Luke to just chop through 40 human beings.
For sure. He would have knocked them unconscious or something.
Yeah, but he was able to just completely go balls to the wall. They're droids. Chop them up, crush them down. It doesn't even matter. How do you think the CGI looked on his face? That whole de-aging deep fake. Because they brought Mark Hamill back to do it, but he did have a body double for the action scenes. And they had to de-age his face. How do you think it looked?
I could tell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it. It'll still look good.
The story surpassed how it looked, but it definitely didn't look great.
Yeah.
And I've already seen a YouTube video where someone did it. I feel like they did it better.
Really?
Yeah, already. Like, wow. A week later. And how long have you guys been working on this that you could just put a little bit more budget into this dude's face?
Yeah, man.
Especially his mouth when he was talking. It's like, oh, God.
It was a little rough. But, I mean, I watch anime, so I'm used to the lips not matching the words. I'm used to that, bro. Like I said, bro, nitpicking.
Yeah, honestly.
I'm not mad at it, dude.
But the power of that scene.
After seeing I don't care if he had a bag over his head, bro, or said, I'm Luke Skywalker. Yeah. I'm like, yes, you are.
I honestly thought he was going to pull the old line from A New Hope and say, I'm Luke Skywalker, I'm here to rescue you. But then that would have, like, see, Bo-Katan, she knew Anakin Skywalker. So if he would have came in and threw the name Skywalker, that might have thrown something out. So I like that he didn't name himself. He didn't say anything. They said, are you a Jedi? He said, I am. I'm here for the kid.
And Grogu already knew.
Yeah.
Right? He's seeing through the CCTV, the security camera, and he was like, that's the homie I called.
I mean, even when the X-Wing came in, you saw his ears perked up. Like, okay, we're good now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm pretty sure he sensed it with his little force.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, the scene where he was, like, totally, like, ragdolling the stormtroopers.
Yes.
I loved it. The little brutality from the kid.
So good.
Yeah. Like, and that's why we don't know. Like, Ahsoka was right. He could go really good. He could go really bad. I mean, he was eating them eggs without, you know, a worry in the world.
He didn't care. But I will say that Luke Skywalker is the perfect person to train him because Luke Skywalker was able. He was too old. He had too much emotion, but he was able to come out of that so he can teach Grogu how to go Luke's way of the Jedi.
I don't know, man, because Ben was also under his training. At the same time, in the most recent trilogy, Luke was different, man.
Yeah, no, he was
a grumpy old man.
He was. Yeah.
He was like, been there, done that with the superhero shit. I'm done.
Exactly.
You know?
And I think where we're seeing Luke right now, he's at the beginning of his superhero journey.
Like
and
the fresh seeing, coach.
And that's what they say. That's the point that they made in The Last Jedi that I feel like a lot of people maybe missed or didn't care enough that Luke got weighed down by being the legend of Luke Skywalker, by everybody assuming more of him and thinking, and so he's trying to live up to everyone else's expectation instead of just doing Luke Skywalker, and that's what brought him down. And that's where in that moment where he sees the horrible things that Ben's gonna do, like what would Luke Skywalker the legend do? He would stop this sort of thing. And that's that fleeting moment. That's everybody were like, oh, this guy you know, saved Vader, who murdered trillions of people, but he's gonna kill his nephew for having a few bad thoughts. It wasn't like that. It's more, man, I am Luke Skywalker. I am the protector of this entire galaxy. The pressure that's under, like, and I think right now he's still finding himself. He's still just that legend of, hey, someone blew up the Death Star.
He's still a legend. I feel like he's fresh off, you know, killing his pops technically, and killing
or
Emperor Palpatine allegedly. Yeah.
He's the Skywalker that he just won his first Super Bowl and he's riding that high.
Yeah.
And he's not, you know, 20 years into his career and it's just too much now. And I don't know.
Let's talk about Palpatine.
Okay,
how
sure.
How the fuck is he still alive? Homeboy was yeeted.
Yeah.
Off that Death Star.
Well, the only explanation that they gave, which I think bringing Palpatine back was the dumbest thing in the world. The only explanation they gave was dark magic, Sith cloning.
Yeah.
Secrets.
That to me felt a little weak.
Oh, 100%.
If you're gonna bring back somebody, bring back Darth Maul as a half robotic person he was in the animated series.
Bring back someone that can come back, like
for sure.
This dude was thrown off.
Give us a new.
Honestly, bad guy. I wanted Kylo Ren to be the bad guy. Just he could have been. Make him irredeemable.
Man, he was good him. As a good guy, too, though. But when he was fighting the Knights of Kylo Ren.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, when he got his lightsaber and they were like, they took a step back and he was like, well. Yeah, and then he goes after I love that scene. It was a great scene, dude.
Honestly,
that
I like.
That whole like, little shrug, like, oh, I'm going to fuck you guys up now. I'm like, I don't like, know.
You
man.
Know what's coming.
That touched me in here.
It was like, I don't mind what they did. They either should have kept Snoke or they should have made Kylo the bad guy.
Yeah.
But bringing Palpatine back made no sense. Undercut what Anakin did. You know, Anakin coming back to the light side, taking Palpatine out.
For just, sure. All for the sake of, well, this is our grandkid's story.
Yeah, they were just trying to save the trilogy because no one liked The Last Jedi, or the majority of people didn't like The Last Jedi. So they brought J.J. Abrams back because the majority of people did like the movie he did. And he was like, oh, how do I fix this? Palpatine's back. Everybody likes Palpatine. And it didn't make sense.
Yeah, and for the fact that that's going to be like
That's the end of the Skywalker saga. As far as
the Skywalker saga.
It's tough.
It was a little lazy.
Yeah, 100%. I think they did the best they could with what they had. The problem that they had is that they didn't have a unified vision from the beginning. They originally decided to bring three different directors in to tell three different stories. But they didn't have 1, 2, 3 planned out. They're like, oh, just tell us what you have. So the things that J.J. Abrams set up in The Force Awakens, Rian Johnson completely destroyed in The Last Jedi. And then they were going to bring another director in. A guy's name was Colin Trevorrow. He made a movie that nobody liked. So they're like, let's actually just bring J.J. back. J.J. made us $1 billion. Let's bring J.J. Abrams back. And then
it was
just a mess.
Yeah, that whole side story about, like, you know, like, what's her face in her hometown, and like those weird, like, it was like the horse races.
But Canto Bite. Oh, don't even get me started
on that. And the fact that, like, they introduced this character who didn't really do anything besides double cross them in the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That whole Master Key guy, like, he was irrelevant.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Why did you waste so much time building him up if he was just going to double cross you
and
then walk away? I mean, at least give him a redemption arc or something, you know? Like, make him relevant.
It was pointless. Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about The Mandalorian.
Yeah, so good, man. Mandalorian, dude. Like,
Mandalorian is great. Any final thoughts for you on The Mandalorian?
I'm glad we saw his face.
Oh, Luke? Or...
No.
Oh.
Mando.
Mando? Din Djarin?
It would have been a little annoying trying to picture his face.
Oh, and that was a great final moment. Him taking off that helmet and just... It doesn't even matter anymore. This is my kid and he wants to see my face, so I'm going to take my helmet off.
For sure, bro. Like,
we got Mandalorian on in the background. It's the Luke Skywalker scene. It's happening right now.
Oh, so good, dude.
So good.
Look at the brutality.
Good
lightsaber swings, man. Uh-huh. Just solid. I think that's what we're missing. Disney, if you ever happen to hear this, more lightsaber fights.
Please. We
just
love lightsabers.
Lightsabers on lightsabers. Lightsabers on blasters. Lightsabers on unarmed people. I mean, lightsabers on lightsaber actions. Let's do it.
I love that they had that little moment at the end. I hope this isn't the last of Grogu that we're gonna see, but
Grogu and Mando together.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking, like, where to next for the guy? I mean, does he go to the armor lady to find another quest?
Who directs him now? Like, I think he's just gonna get stuck in trying to reclaim Mandalore. I think Bo-Katan's going to tell him, listen, you have the Darksaber now. It's on you, and he's not going to want it. So maybe they'll fight. Maybe he'll try to give it to someone else. But I don't know. I'm excited either way. I love this character.
I heard that Mandalore, like you said, that Mandalore was turned into glass or something like that.
So, yeah, Mandalore as a planet has just gone through so much war that it's just literally the only inhabitable places. They have built giant bubbles like the freaking Truman Show. And the whole planet is sand, and when you heat up sand, it's glass. Right. So basically, the planet of Mandalore is basically it's uninhabitable unless you live in these little dome cities that they have. So we don't know what happened to Mandalore after this purge. So maybe they're gonna try to rebuild it. I don't know, but that's where I think season 3 is gonna go.
It's pretty exciting, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not too sure as far as the lore of the Mandalorians go and how deep it goes, because apparently there's like this whole different subcultures within Mandalore where, like you said before, people have differences of thought, so they fight amongst each other.
That's where all these civil wars continuously happen from.
Yeah, man. And I mean, like the armor, like the lifestyle, all that, it's just so intriguing. Mm-hmm. I really hope they expand on all that, because I would love to know like what happened to the people who found Mando.
Oh, Death Watch.
Yeah, like what happened to them exactly? Like obviously yeah. he was with them for a minute, but at one point did they go different ways?
Who knows? We'll find out. I mean, at least I hope we do. I think that we've seen him on his quest, and season 3 would be the way to deep dive into just what it means to really be a Mandalorian, a true Mandalorian, a foundling, whatever. So.
Yeah, man, it's just really cool that they have like this whole little subculture of just assassins, man, mm-hmm. within the world of Star Wars that kind of could compete with the Jedi.
Yeah, you know, the Mandalorians went to war with Jedi. Like, that's why their armor is so strong. They made these things to fight Jedi.
Exactly, man. So like, in a world where, like, the Jedi are the elite, man, I like the fact that they have, like, a rival.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is awesome. Whew! That was a lot, man. But thank you so much for being on. We did it. Yeah. We got there. I'd love to have you on again next time.
There's please, an awesome by all means, dude,
Star Wars thing.
This is cool. And Star Wars or DC, Marvel, any of that nerd stuff, man. Yes. I'm about it.
So I'm going to try to put out some more episodes. Like I said, I know it's been a while, but I got a new job and stuff. So just things have been taking me away. But this podcast is still a thing I love doing. It's still a little passion of mine. So continue to come back. Continue to listen. Any final thoughts for you, sir? Any last things you want to tell the people?
Man, I hope you just enjoyed us ramble about Star Wars. Yeah, man.
This is going to be an episode for the fans.
Yeah, bro. I mean, if you related to this by any ways, shoot Mike a DM.
Yeah, at Big Screen Pod.
There you go.
Yep.
Hit him up with anything that you may or may not agree with on this podcast.
We can fight about it. That's fine.
Yeah, dude. But, dude, it was so much fun, bro.
Yeah, it's great having you here.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, we will see you guys whenever I put another episode out.